You're listening to an audio recording from Brimley Baptist Church. For more resources or to give to this ministry, please visit brimleyworship.com.
God, you're so good, right?
Yeah.
That's a great song. Great song. I think I cooked the best turkey I ever cooked before in my entire life. Smoked turkey. I think the Lord's just gracious to me because I couldn't mess it up. Now, my wife, on the other hand, she was like, I don't like it at all. I was like, I love it. I love it. It's great. She's like, don't like it. So I don't know why I thought to bring that up, maybe in light of Thanksgiving. Who knows? Who knows? But I know what we're not having. We're not having smoked turkey for Thanksgiving. My dogs loved it. So do plan to join us this Wednesday for our night of worship. I promise it'll be an encouragement to your heart, to your soul, especially if you like to praise the Lord. And even if you don't like to, you should just get comfortable with it, because that's what heaven's going to look like. And so if you remember last week, I gave you all the challenge to do something. Will you, anybody remember what I gave you the challenge to do? Memorize verses, right? What verse did I encourage you to memorize? Philippians 4:4-7. So are you ready to say it with me with your eyes closed? You're like, absolutely not. All right, well, let's stand. Some of you are. We got it on the screen up here, so you can look up here. You can say it with me. Now, I think I have it completely memorized, but I usually trip up when I try to quote scripture in front of people. You ever get that nervousness, right? So for that sake, I'm going to read it. But I have like 95% of it committed to memory. So let's go ahead and read it together. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. All right, it's going to get real. Go ahead and switch back the slide. Go ahead and switch back this. There we go. Okay, let's see if we can do it together. Philippians 4:4-7. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Did I butcher that last part? Maybe I did. I don't know. But good job, guys. Good job. You guys can be seated. Go home. Let's. We still got two more weeks to kind of get that solidified into our minds, especially in this season of just a great opportunity, great time to praise of the Lord. Today's message title is A Perspective of Praise in Eternity. A Perspective of Praise in Eternity. And if you want, you can turn to Isaiah chapter 12. I once had a man tell me that when he died and the doctors revived him, that he felt as though he was in the presence of the Lord. Although he did not claim to have seen the Lord, he felt closer to his presence than ever before. He expressed that he had never encountered anything like it. In his own words, he stated, and he said to me, I have never felt so unworthy, but at the same time, so loved. This experience ignited within him a profound desire to praise the Lord as he regained consciousness. Even though none of us can fully grasp what it will be like to physically stand in the presence of Jesus, I think those words were fitly spoken when he said, I've never felt so unworthy but so loved at the same time. I'll never forget it. I've never felt so unworthy, but so loved at the same time. Today, I would like us to consider the perspective of praise from eternity. The writer, inspired by the Holy Ghost, unveils a glimpse of the future for us, revealing what it will be like when Jesus reigns. And we, his people, are in his presence. This offers us insight into the praise from the perspective of eternity. As we strive to align our hearts to praise him now, to praise his name now, this will help us understand what praise will be like in light of eternity. Surrendering our hearts in worship today will allow us to experience a taste of joy, a taste of the joys of eternity to come in this life. So we're looking at this perspective of praise in eternity. A perspective of praise when Christ is on the throne. He's on the throne, but when he's physically on the throne and we can see him face to face, whether you assume the millennial reign, which I believe it could be chapter 11 referencing, or the eternal reign, does not matter. It's Christ is on the throne. It's in that day. It's in that day when we see him face to face. Our text is Isaiah 12. I'm going to read it to you. It says, "And in that day of Christ's eternal reign, and in that day thou shalt say, the worshipers will say, the believers that stand in his presence will say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw waters out of the well of salvation. And in that day," what day? "His eternal reign, shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among his people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all of the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." Let's pray. Father, I come to you, and Lord, I just pray as you've put this perspective of praise, what eternity is going to be like in that aspect of our praise and our worship of you. Lord God, I pray that we would not wait until that day to live this out, to praise you the way that you deserve it. Yes, and I understand there's going to be things that we can do and say that we can't say per se here, but we can do everything that's mentioned here now. Lord God, I pray that you would open our minds and that you would help us, that you would draw us in now, in this time, to a place of worshiping you, to a place of praising you, to a place of singing unto you that will someday it will be normal in heaven. It won't be something that we question whether or not we do, but I pray that, Lord God, you would prepare us now. I pray that you would open our eyes to behold wonderful things out of thy law. In Jesus' name, amen. A perspective of praise in eternity. Number one, write it down. There will be praise from the worshiper personally. There will be praise from the worshiper personally. Look at verse number one. And in that day, what day? What day? The reign of Christ, when we are in his presence, when we see him face to face, in that day, it's a coming day, thou shalt say. That personal worship, O Lord, I will praise thee. Notice the cause for the praise here. It's that personal praise. There will be praise from the worshiper personally. In that day, I will praise thee. But notice the cause for the praise. Look at the cause for the praise. Underneath that, there will be a personal realization. There will be a personal realization that God is not angry with you. There will be a personal realization that God is not angry with you. I can't tell you how many Christians that I've had tell me that they believe God is angry with them, that God is mad at them. But in that day, there will be a realization, God is not angry with you. And you will say, well, you don't know what I've done. Well, you don't know what Jesus has done for you. Look at verse number one. And in that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. I will praise thee. Here's the cause for the praise. Thou wast angry with me, but thine anger is turned away. God's wrath, God's anger is turned away. And not only is it turned away, and thou comfortest me. The worshiper in the presence of the Lord in that day, praise him personally because his anger has been removed from him, even though he rightly deserves it. See, we deserve the anger and wrath of the Lord upon ourselves because we know what we've done. But here, in light of that day, this worshiper stands before the Lord and realizes that God's anger has been turned away. And not only is it turned away, but now God comforts him. God's anger was turned away from you and me the day that we turned to Jesus Christ for our salvation. And the Bible says that all the wrath of God, the anger of God, was poured out on Jesus so that when God looked at us, he didn't look at us with anger. He didn't look at us with wrath. See, Jesus took on himself the wrath of God so we wouldn't have to. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Basically, those who have believed in Jesus, Jesus took the anger of God. Jesus took the wrath of God upon himself. And the only ones that will ever experience the anger or the wrath of God are those who reject Jesus as their Savior. I love the phrase, thine anger is turned away and thou comfortest me. Think about that phrase for a second. And thou comfortest me. The worshiper praises him personally because his anger was turned aside, but also because of the compassion that he extended. Think about this for a second. Who really deserves to receive what is mentioned here? Who deserves comfort? Is it us or the Lord? It's the Lord. We should be comforting him, encouraging, you know, we should be the ones comforting him, but he comes along and he comforts us. He comforts us. Proverbs or Psalms 30 verse 5 says, for his anger endureth but a moment, and in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. See, we deserve the Lord to be angry with us, but he is not. We should be comforting him, but he is comforting us. And for this worshiper, he says, I will praise you. I will praise you personally. In that day, when? In that day, when he realizes, it goes back and you say, well, why did you tell that story in the beginning? Because it made me think about that one. That man said, I never felt so unworthy, but so loved at the same time. It all automatically took my mind to this. It made me think about Isaiah when he saw the Lord in the temple. In Isaiah chapter 6, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And what did he say? I'm unworthy. I'm unclean. But you know, God didn't shoo him out of his presence. God let him stay in his presence. God washed him clean. God put that fire of coals upon his lips to purge, to purify and allow him to live and stay in his presence at that time. If you are in Christ Jesus, God is not angry with you. There is great comfort in knowing the Lord is not angry with you. And to understand the Lord himself will comfort you personally. I think about Revelations when it says, and he shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. Some could speculate on why those tears are there. I don't believe after that there's going to be any more tears because he's going to wipe those tears away. But maybe it's tears from the worshiper who realizes that they don't deserve to be where they're at. And the Lord almost taking them and wiping the tears because they know they're unworthy. Maybe it's the one who realizes the tears flow from their faces. They realize their wasted life. And Jesus says, hey, it's okay. You know, it's a shame, but he wipes away our tears. We should be comforting him. We should be, comforting him, but instead he comforts us. See, there will be a personal realization God is not angry with you in that day. But also, B, there will be a personal clarity that Jesus alone is your salvation. There will be a personal clarity in that day that Jesus alone is your salvation. Look at verse number 2. Behold, God is, what's that next word? My salvation. God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Not just once, but twice referencing God, my salvation. Jehovah, Jireh, right? Jesus is my Yahweh, my salvation. What the worshiper believed in faith is made crystal clear in sight in that day. See, the worshiper in that day praises the Lord, being his personal, realizing he's his personal salvation. Jesus is my salvation. Is he your salvation? Notice the phrase, my salvation, not once but twice. To say God is my salvation is to clearly proclaim, I am not my own salvation, nor can I be. To say God is my salvation is also to say my good works, my good intentions, my religiousness does not save me. God alone is my salvation. See, when you get to heaven, you can't say this unless if God is completely your salvation. Remember how I tell you it's not 99% God and 1% you? It's 100% the Lord Jesus Christ. And none of you. It's all him and not you if God alone is your salvation. The worshiper says this twice. Once, God is my salvation. And the second time, Jehovah is my salvation. In that day, there will be a clear understanding, more clear than ever, that Jesus has become our salvation. For the believer in eternity, there will be no fear. Therefore, the worshiper will say, what's the next words after that? The Lord is my salvation. I will what? Trust. There's no need to be afraid. Why? Because his trust is in the Lord. The only reason to be fearful and afraid in that day is when you are the one who is trusting in yourself for your salvation. And in that day, you will be very afraid. But those who have put their trust in the Lord, there will be no fear of, condemnation, because the Lord is their trust. Verse number 2 says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is, what's that next word? My strength and my song. It's very personal here. I will praise. I will trust. He's my strength. He's my song. He has become my salvation. The worshiper has supreme understanding that the Lord alone is his strength. See, I think sometimes we, on this earth, we think we have to do it ourselves, right? I think about what Paul says, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Basically, he's saying, I have all the willpower, but to do good, I can't find it, the ability to do good without the Lord's power. See, I think in that day, when we get to heaven, we're going to have a supreme understanding that anything that we did in this life, any good that came of us at all is supremely nothing to do with us, but through His Spirit living in us. The worshiper has a supreme understanding that the Lord is also his strength, but not just his strength, but also his song. His song. I want you to think about this for a second. I wonder what it means when he says, the Lord is my song. The Lord is my song. You know, this immediately drew me to David when he was praising and worshiping the Lord with all of his might as they brought the ark back into Jerusalem in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 12, when it says, "And it was told King David, saying, The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom shortly after he came into his kingdom and into the city of David with gladness. And it was said, And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatling, and David danced before the Lord with all of his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of trumpet. Basically, he is singing and he is praising the Lord with all of his might, with everything that is in him. No distractions, just praise with everything that is in him. To truly sing unto the Lord the way he designed it is to be completely enthralled and captivated, where all of your focus is on the one that you're singing to. And I want you to think about something. Someday, when we get to heaven, every song that will ever be sung, Steve, is only going to be towards one person. I want you to think about that for a second. Every song, when we get to that day, that will be sung, it's going to point us to one person. When we hear the lyrics, it's going to point us to one person. When we hear the words, it's going to point us to one and one person only. Because in that day, there will be an understanding that he is the only one who deserves the praise. See, Satan throughout the years has used music and song to steal away man's focus from his creator. Whether for you, you call that rock, you call it rap, you call it country, it makes no difference. But in that day when the song is sung, they will point us to the Lord, not our fleshly desires, as music of this world does today. See, music of this world today, it caters to us, it points to us, it satisfies us, it makes us look to ourselves. But in that day, all songs, and I would prepare, and I would tell you, Christian, if you're not comfortable with singing praises, you should. If you get in your car and you're thinking about the good old days of rock and roll, rap, country, I don't care what it is, you really should begin to prepare yourself to think and to look towards your Savior, because someday, in that day, all songs that are sung are going to be the ones that bring Him glory, are going to be the ones that no longer remind us of sinful behaviors of the past, but are going to remind us of the wonderful beauty of our Savior in heaven. We should prepare our hearts now. The worshiper takes this time of transition from praise to the Lord to experiencing joy in the Lord as he drinks from the well of salvation. Look at verse number 3. Therefore with joy shall he draw water out of the well of salvation. Therefore with joy shall he draw water out of the well of salvation. I love this because this goes two ways. In that day, the Bible talks about it, there being a well. Here, let's just read. Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 13 says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water." They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and have hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns that could hold no water. Which is the complete, when Jesus was going to them in John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39, it says, in the last day, right before he's getting ready to be crucified, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, shall come out of his belly, shall flow rivers of living water." Now we understand here, Jesus follows up, but this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. The Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. That spiritual drink, that refreshness of the Holy Spirit being poured out to us, but then also Revelation chapter 7, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them in that day, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and shall wipe away all their tears. I believe there's both that spiritual a well of water and a spring of water in heaven that we'll be able to drink from, and it still comes from the same place. Look at Revelation 22:1 says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come. Basically, he's saying here and now, those that hear and are thirsty, hey, you can drink now. You can be satisfied now. Maybe not with that physical water of heaven, but yes, with the spiritual water, the refreshment of the Holy Spirit upon us. And it says, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. The worshiper with great joy drinks of the river of life, the well of his salvation. There is great joy in drinking from the well of our salvation, both then and now. See, there will be praise from the worshipers personally, but there will also, number two, there will be praise from the worshipers publicly. I like how there's a slight transition. We notice the praise of all publicly. It's not just individuals. It's everybody. It's everybody. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. See, you can choose to bow now. If you call yourself a Christian, why wouldn't you want to bow now? Why wouldn't you want to assume the posture of what eternity is going to look like? Why can't we ask now, God, help me to see what I don't see? God, help me to understand what I don't understand. Lord, give me a greater understanding of your love for me, of your mercy towards me, that I might worship you with a heart posture that someday I'll be doing for all of eternity. See, there will be public praise from the worshiper. Look at verse number 4. And in that day, what day? When we're in the presence of the Lord, shall ye say, hey guys, come, let's worship the Lord together. I think I said that. Hey guys, Wednesday, let's come and worship the Lord together. In that day, ye shall say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention of his name. Make mention that his name is exalted. See here, there is an internal desire to praise the Lord, and to call upon him publicly. There will be an internal desire to share. And what I mean by that is it's not something we're ashamed of, internal. We're going to say, hey, why don't you come to church with me? Hey, why don't you come praise and worship the Lord with me? And I understand that's going to be the heartbeat of everyone there. But there will also be an internal desire to share with all his wonderful works to the glory of his name, that his name alone be exalted. I like that last part when it says, and in that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people. You know what else is going to be in heaven? What else is going to be in that day? Is this going to be a continual reminder of all God's goodness to us in our life? It's not going to be something you're ever going to forget, nor will you ever be able to escape. It will be a continual understanding of how good God has been in your life. So why not now begin to think, begin to remind yourself daily of how good God is to you? You know, it's that testimony time. I think about Friendsgiving. That's what we're doing on Friendsgiving. We're coming together and we're talking about praise to the Lord, and we're giving Him the glory. We're not taking it for ourselves. We're giving it to Him because He's the only one that deserves it. The testimony of His goodness being on our lips, that He be exalted, not we ourselves. That's what we do. In that day, there will be public praise, but in that day, there's a call to sing unto the Lord. Look at verse number 5, sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. This is known in all the earth. In that day, there will be a call for all to sing unto the Lord because of His excellent works. When you think about that thought, and I really want you to think, I absolutely 110% believe that Satan has deterred the song of man, which was supposed to be directed to the Lord, to ourselves and to other things away from the Lord. Because when you look at the first song ever recorded in Scripture, the very first song ever recorded in Scripture is in Exodus chapter number 15. And let's read it together, because this is what it says. It goes like this: Then sang Moses, the children of Israel, this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider has He thrown down into the sea. This is when He delivered the children of Israel from the army of Egypt. And the Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath He cast into the sea. His chosen captives are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy, and in the greatness of thine excellence thou hast overthrown them, and rose up against thee. Those that rose up against thee, thou settest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upon his heaps, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hands shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with the wind, the seas covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is likened unto the Lord among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious and holy, fearful in praise, doing wonderful works? Thou stretchest out thy hand, the earth swallowed them up. Thou in thy mercies hast led thee forth people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto the holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall hold the inhabitants of the Palestine. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab shall tremble and shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Cana thou shall melt away. Fear and dread shall come upon all them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall all be still as stones until the people pass over. O Lord, till the people pass over, which thou hast purchased, which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountains of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made thee to dwell, in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horses of Pharaoh went in with chariots and with horsemen into the sea. The Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. The children of Israel went on dry ground in the midst of the sea. This is a song that Moses and all of Israel is singing to the Lord. The very first song ever mentioned was devoted to the Lord. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took with timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels, with dance, right? What are they doing? They're singing and praising. Verse 21, and Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. If that disturbs you or bothers you in any way, shape, or form, man, I feel bad, because the Bible says in Revelation 5:9, it says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seal thereof, thou that was slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood to God that has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation. We are going to sing praise to one and one person only. I would challenge you to inspect what you listen to. And is it pointing you to the Lord? Or is it pointing you to the good old days? Is it pointing you to your desires? Or is it pointing you to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? I would truly challenge you as a people to go and inspect what you listen to, because the Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. From the origin of time, we were created to praise the Lord and Him alone with our song, with our words. We notice, lastly, the call to bless the Lord with Him in verse number 6. Cry out and shout. Cry out and shout. It's almost like the shouting of David in that time, just praising the Lord. Thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. You know, if we're not careful today, we may say to ourselves that that's what eternity will be like when we get there. But in reality, this is what our life should be like right now before we get there. And I want you to think about this for a second. What is mentioned in these 6 verses that we can't do right now? Nothing. Let's read it. Let's look at it together. And then we're going to close. Verse number 1, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Can I do that now? Yes or no? Yes, I can. Though thou wast angry with me, and thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Can I receive that truth that the Lord is not angry with me right here, right now? Yes, I can. Verse number 2, behold, God is my salvation. Can I understand that? Can I acknowledge that right here, right now? Yes, I can. I will trust in Him. Can I do that right now? Yes, I can. And not be afraid. Can I do that right now? Yes, I can. The Lord Jehovah is my strength. Can He be my strength right now? Yes, He can. Can He be my song right now? Yes, He can. Verse 3, therefore, with joy shall ye draw waters out of the well of salvation. Can I draw waters out of the well of salvation right now? Yes, I can, and so can you. It's a choice, though. It's a posture. And it's a desire. Verse 4, and in that day you shall say, praise the Lord. Can I praise Him now? Can I declare His testimony to other people? When it says, declare His doings among the people, make mention that His name be exalted. Can I go to work tomorrow, Travis? And can I tell everybody and declare His goodness in my life to others? Yes, I can. And yes, you can. Can I sing unto the Lord the excellent things that He's done? Yes, we can. We can do that now. In fact, we're getting ready to do it here in a minute. Hey, we're going to do it on Wednesday. You can do it tomorrow when you go home. The Bible says, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart. To who? The Lord. The Lord. Oh, can we not cry out and shout right now? Absolutely. You're like, you do it all the time, preacher. I can, and you can too. You know, with heads bowed and eyes closed and nobody looking around, my wife's going to come and sit at the piano. I want you to challenge yourself this morning to say, where am I truly at in the area of worship towards the Lord? I want you to challenge yourself this morning. Are you going to be one of those Christians that wait until you get to heaven to do what you can do right here and right now? Or are you going to wait until you get to heaven to realize that God's not angry with you? Or are you going to adopt that truth right here, right now? You say, you don't know what I've done. You don't know how bad I screwed up. Hey, listen, we've all fallen short of God's glory. But you can either live, it's hard to get close to somebody you're afraid of. You ever think about that? See, the Lord loves you. He knew what you were going to do long before you did it. And he still died for you. Are you going to wait till you get to heaven to realize that it's all God and none of you? And stop trying to live this life with putting your two cents into it all? And let God work through you in your marriage. Let God work through you in your relationships. Let God work through you instead of trying to force it yourself. Will you trust him right now, completely with your finances? Instead of hoarding back and saying, God, I'm going to hold this 10% because I don't trust you. Listen, he's trustworthy. He doesn't need us. He loves us. He doesn't need what we have. He has everything. But you can trust him now. You don't have to be afraid now. Maybe you're up against something that you just feel like you can't do and you want to run to the wrong things. You know what? The Lord Jehovah is my strength. Right now, it can be for you. He can be your strength with whatever you're facing. He can be your song. He can be the thing in your life that truly satisfies you. He can be that thing in your life that just enthralls you. He can be that joy that you can't seem to find anywhere else. Don't be the Christian that waits till you get to heaven to praise his name at work tomorrow, because that's what heaven's going to look like. You know, I believe a lot of the tears that are going to be wiped away are those who, yes, while they may have been saved, lived a life of secrecy towards the Lord, being ashamed to proclaim his testimony of what he's done in their life, wishing they had done more, wishing they had communicated more and worshiped more, because now they see clearly how worthy he is. Hey, don't be that Christian. Everything that's mentioned here today in this chapter, we can do. We can go home and live out. We can sing unto the Lord. We can cry and shout unto the Lord. Great is the Holy One of Israel. You know, the greatest thing that we need to do is prepare ourselves for what's to come. Don't wait. You know, surrender yourself to the Lord. Give yourself to him. If you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, what are you waiting on? Maybe you're holding back the Lord. You know, I ain't got time for church on Sunday. I ain't got time for that. I don't have time to serve in a ministry. I don't have time to share with a coworker to give a track out. Hey, listen, we just talked about eternity. Man, prepare yourself. Ask the Lord to give you that heart posture of Isaiah chapter 12, that worshiper. As the worship team comes, let's pray. Father, I come to you today, Lord God, and I'm grateful for the fact that you give us a glimpse into eternity and into your reign, whether that's the millennial reign or eternal reign, Lord God, it's you're there in that day. And we see you. We look through a glass now, dimly, but someday we're going to see you. And things will be made clear. But what we know is clear is that we're going to praise you. We're going to rejoice in you. We're going to sing a new song to you. We are going to praise your name. We are going to drink of that well. And Lord God, while we don't completely understand and know everything, what has been revealed to us today is that we can do these things now. We can seek that heart posture of worship now. We don't have to wait till then. Lord God, I pray that you would help this church and each individual person in it to have that surrendered heart posture of worship, to where we desire to continually be giving ourselves to you. Lord, to worship you now, to praise you now, to glorify you now, to sing your name now, to speak of your testimonies now, to exalt you now, Father. Lord, I pray that you help us through the power of your Holy Spirit to do what cannot be done without your Spirit. Lord, we love you. Please do a work in our midst today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand.
If you would like more information about today's sermon or how to become a follower of Jesus Christ, please visit the Contact Us page at brimleyworship.com.